Hallelujah. I'm excited about this morning. I'm very thankful for this season we're launching into. And I have a message for you today entitled Responding to Jesus. Responding to Jesus. Would you say that with me? Responding to Jesus. I'm going to take a little bit of time in the intro. So when we get, you won't miss the fill in the blank. Trust me. So you can go ahead and just, I'll get you back there, okay? So you don't have to be totally focused there. What if you don't know anything about Jesus, and you know that maybe you just think he's somebody in history, or maybe that, myth in people's minds, you know, then we come up on this Christmas season, and those around you think, you know, well, what's it all about? Why are we doing this? And I want to address the question, who is he? What does the Bible say about who Jesus is? What does the Bible say about who he was before he came to earth? What does the Bible say about him in reference to eternity and his impact on humanity? Some think he was just a religious leader, a teacher. But, you know, a good teacher doesn't claim he's to be, you know, he's God, you know. That would be kind of rough, you know, come up and I'm a good teacher, but I'm also God. Well, that's going to mess with you. And Jesus did that. So how do we respond to that? And I want to run us back to a moment way after Jesus was born in the court of Pilate. I want to go there for a minute and listen to something that he says. Pilate has just received Jesus from the Pharisees, and now he says, so Pilate entered his headquarters again, and he called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and your chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus said, everybody listen, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." And then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king." Now listen to this, guys. "For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I have come into the world. To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Wow. This is the reason I was born. This is the reason I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to me. I think it's amazing. Jesus is facing his crucifixion. He declares his purpose. And so basically, one of the ways to think about this is simply, have you ever met anybody, or were you one of those people that was just flat out honest to God and said, "If you're real, show yourself to me. Help me know you. If you're real, make yourself known." An honest heart comes to an honest God with an honest question. And because he comes to bear witness of the truth, those who want the truth will listen to him. How many stories, how many testimonies have you heard, have I heard, of people saying, "Lord, if you're real, show me." And he initiates something in their life of an encounter with him. And I believe the encounter is something like this. It's an encounter that involves sensing his love in a profound and deep way, and with giving inner assurance that you can completely trust him for everything. Is that right? That you really respond to, "I can really trust him." And this is I wanted to take this, there's so many people that believe in so many different things. I'm hoping that this particular wave file, whatever you call this message, gets, you know, people can use this to say, listen to who Jesus is. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment." Listen, guys. "The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. I think that was a big reason why it took me a little while to open up to the Lord, because I was afraid that the things I was doing would be exposed. Does anybody else here have a truthful heart? It kind of makes you go slow, doesn't it? But also for those, if you've known the love of God, if you haven't known the love of God, I want to pray that those are in our life that don't know him this season, that their heart becomes wrapped around by the love of God, and that inner assurance that you can completely trust God in everything begins to happen. How many of you have people in your life? It's like, listen, this is not the season to dull out over that. Because there's moments that the Lord wants to open to us to insert something of God's life into a situation and not be caught up in or under the drab of whatever. Amen? I just wanted to make sure I'm still with the right people here. I want us to look at something. I took some liberty with the Word of God here. Everybody say the word theology.
Theology.
Now say Christology.
Christology.
Just like theology is the study of God, theo is the Greek word for God, and ology means the study of. Christ, which is saying Christology, but you pronounce Christology, it's the study of Christ. And I took, there may be more, but I took four basic passages. The Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 23, that one. I took Hebrews 1:1-4, that one. I took John chapter 1:1-14, that one. And Philippians 2:5-11. And I put those all together. And I thought through making a list of everything in those verses. And I just wrote it out. So just kind of lean in and let me say what I wrote down here. Ready? Before Jesus came to earth, he was in the form of God. Because in the beginning, he was the Word. And he was with God, and he was God. The world was created through him, and there was nothing that was made that he did not make. He created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Not only were all things created through him and for him, all things find their purpose in him. And he has been appointed heir of every created thing. Before all things, being before all things, everything in the universe is held together by him. For he upholds all things by the word of his power. Yet, being in the form of God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped or clutched at. But he emptied himself and took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Now, the God who has not been seen or understood can be seen and understood in the person of Jesus, because he is the image of the invisible God, being the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. Being in human form, Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. His light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. It pleased the Father that in Jesus the fullness of God should dwell. Indeed, Jesus is preeminent in all things. Yet, he came to his own people, and they did not receive him. Therefore, in order to become the purification for our sins, he became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. By his death, he made peace through the blood of his cross, in order that he might reconcile all things in heaven and earth to himself. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name. And having sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, his name is more excellent than that of all the angels in heaven. For at his name, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And now Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and is the picture of what we are to become, being a prototype for the redeemed. For by his power working mightily within us, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. For the love that sent him to gather us together with him is now poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God, who works to transform us into the very image of Christ. I want you to know that's on the back of your notes, and I would invite you to read that the next few days and think through that with me, because Jesus, everybody just say it this way, Jesus is Creator and Redeemer. Look at somebody next to you and say, if you're broke, He can fix you. That's right, because He created you, and He's the Redeemer. He can fix anything that has ever gone wrong in your life. And there are many things that have gone wrong in many lives. And He's not the one that brought the damage. He's the one that brings the reconciliation. He's the one that brings the peace. He's the one that brings the wholeness. He's the one that says, if you abide in my truth, if you know my truth, it'll make you free. He brings liberty. He brings salvation. He brings healing. Jesus is all of that. Hallelujah. And you know, there's over 600 Old Testament scriptures that testify to the coming of Jesus. The odds of that are trillions and trillions and trillions to one. I think you have to say trillions about 10 times to one. Because the odds are against all of that happening. As we were talking about earlier with the pinky promise, that the Lord says, I'm going to tell you, but then He starts telling you through different ways. I've only got five of them, but I just want to mention a few. The very first prophecy of Jesus is in Genesis 3, 14 and 15. It's the prophecy of the seed of the woman. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon the belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The fulfillment in the New Testament. I won't read all of them, but it's prophesied in Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, thou will be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come unto me a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. And then Micah prophesied Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. Trying to figure out how that worked, because of the timing on that, he wasn't in Bethlehem. But there came a decree for taxation purposes, and they were up in Nazareth. And suddenly, at the time, they went down to Bethlehem. No human could cause that to happen. People think, oh, we can read this and make it happen. No. I want to ask you, if there was any prophetic words about your life, can you go make them happen? And yet, one after another, after another, after another, there was even the one he was called, he was Christ to be born of a virgin. He was declared in Isaiah 7, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And what does Gabriel do? He shows up and says, you will conceive and you will call his name Emmanuel. Then there's others. I'll just get on with it here. And Jesus said some amazing statements about himself. Can you remember a few of them? Does anybody remember Jesus saying, I am the bread of life? Does anybody remember I'm the light of the world? How about, I am the gate. He who enters through me shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. How about this one? The good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Has anybody heard Jesus say, I am the resurrection and the life? He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Has anybody ever heard the Lord say, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me? Yes. Anybody hear him say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser? The divinity of Jesus is further illustrated in John 8:58. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Everybody say, I am. Which means that Jesus existed before human life on earth. Hallelujah. So now we're going to get into our little message here. And I want to read Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration where Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. I want to ask you today to set our hearts on how to respond over this season to the event of Jesus' coming. How to respond to that. There's responses. I found three. There's three ways to respond to the entry point of Jesus into the world. First of all, let's just back up for a minute and say, wow. There is not another person on the planet in all of time that can say, I'm God. Not another human being that has that position. I don't care what religion you grew up in, what nation you're from, you will have to respond to Jesus Christ. Religions aren't up for grabs and what you want to choose. There is one and only one Savior of mankind. There's only one that came to the cross and shed his blood and poured out his life, that all men who call upon his name through the name of Jesus Christ can be saved. There is only one. Every other means is somehow you have to earn it. You have to do something. You have to memorize something. You have to declare something. You have to sacrifice something. It's the works is on you, except for in Christ. And in Christ, he has done all the work. He said, you can't save yourself. You're a sinner, and I'm a Savior. And I'm going to take all your sin and put it on me, and take all my righteousness and put it on you. And you're going to be transformed because I'm going to declare you're right with God if you put your trust in him. Praise the Lord. So how do we respond to the Lord being born on the earth? That's mind-blowing. I've always wondered about that. I read somewhere one man said, what could you imagine it be like? You know, here's Jesus in the form of God at the gate of heaven. And he's standing there, and suddenly he vaporizes. And he enters the womb of a woman on the earth. And somehow God's seed ends up in this woman. It's a miracle. And now God is alive in a person. And he's growing. He's beginning to develop as a baby. I'm not smart enough to think the way God thinks, but man, is that cool or what? Because he comes down and experiences life like we've experienced it. And he's in every way tempted like we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. So the coming of the Savior is being fought in the public arena. The coming of Jesus Christ, just putting up a nativity scene to declare that the Savior has come, is a big point of contention and conflict because of the darkness of the minds of men, that their evil deeds would be exposed if they come to him. Are you there? The day that we're living in. So how do we respond? Let's go ahead and look at the first way that we respond. Number one, worship him. What is the appropriate response to the revelation of Jesus Christ? But just go ahead and tell somebody next to you, let's worship him this season. Let's up it. Let's be a little bit more desirous of praising and blessing and worshiping the Lord. And going into the house, these are the wise men. They saw the child and Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped. I want to invite you to have a place carved out in your life this season to bow down and worship. It could be in the early morning, sitting around your own Christmas tree, bow down and worship. Spend some time in God's presence. And everybody said amen. Our first appropriate response is to have a heart for worship. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it this way, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Spirit who is from the Lord who is the Spirit." I'm going to ask you a question. To what do you give your heart? Did you know your heart is a bullseye for all the works of darkness and all the things? There's just a lot of activity coming from the unseen realm to your heart. What do you give your heart? How many of you know what I'm saying is true? That if you go ahead and carve out the time and spend the time, it's almost like a force field that comes around your life. How many of you have ignored and neglected worshiping the Lord in your own private time and hell come and overtake and destroy everything around you because you didn't take the time? Are you hearing me? For us to steward His presence this season, we want to walk wisely. So I want to go ahead and say, with all the increase of other activity, make sure you have a quiet world within you. Make sure you have a place, an altar built in your own. Let's just do it right now. This is just to settle that in our hearts. Father, we just choose to have a quiet place, a settled place in our own lives where we can come before You and worship You. Because we know, Lord, that we go from one degree of glory to another when we behold Your glory as in a mirror. We give You praise, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord coming and doing things in us we cannot do and receive any other way. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Number two, there's a second response. Share Him. Share Him. And when those angels came and declared the message to the shepherds got up and went out to investigate. What they were saying, and they came in and they saw it was true. And then the shepherds praised the Lord and glorified God, and they went out from there, and look what it says. And when they saw it, all that the angels had said about Jesus being there, they made known. Everybody say, they made known. They made known the sayings that they had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Do you live the kind of life where people want to actually get involved in what you believe? Let's read the next verse with me. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. That you live a life where people cue in to, you have more hope than I got. I want to tell you guys, this is the season to live the hope-filled life. When you take the time to worship Him, you have a quiet power in you. And you walk with a sense of stability in a world that doesn't have stability. And there's that fragrance, there's that change, there's that shift of things that happen in you. I know many of you live this way. And you're not caught up in all the stuff of the people around you. You know what I'm saying? And there's something of an imparting work. I'm just more bold in public. We were out with the grandkids the other day playing in this little playground down at Meadowbrook Mall. And I just turned to this guy and I just use whatever I can to get a discussion going. And there's believers out there wanting. There's so many are timid. But when you just open up and talk about it, it's like a breath of fresh air. When you begin to discuss the things of the faith, there's people, yeah, they may be new in it, but you don't usually have a lot of people reacting and wanting to burn your car down or something, you know. Maybe in some other parts of the country, but around here, a gentle heart that respects the ways of the Lord is admired. Can I just kind of, in the name of Jesus, peel back any fear off your heart from having an open, sharing heart about the goodness of the Lord. It's so easy just to tell what the Lord's done for you, isn't it? I feel like the room kind of changed there. People are getting a little happy now. Go ahead and I'm kind of kidding, but just think of one little good thing that the Lord's just recently done for you and whisper it to somebody next to you. Just go ahead and tell them something the Lord's done for you. It could be a very, very simple thing, but authentic and real, genuine things of God make a big difference. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at the last one and we'll be done here in a second. Number 3, a way to respond. Imitate Him. Worship Him, share Him, and imitate Him. Luke 1:38, Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I was praying about this one because I didn't really... I had the word in my heart before I had a passage, and the Lord brought the passage to me and said, Mary was imitating what Jesus was doing, and she didn't even know Him yet. It was in that what I read earlier, but Philippians 2:5 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself." Now, here's a young lady, and she's kind of idealistic, and Mary is standing there, and Gabriel comes, and she's fearful at first, and he says, "You're highly favored," and all that goes on, and he begins to say, "You're going to conceive and give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel," and she says, "How can this be?" And he says, "Well, here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and He's going to overshadow you, and then you'll conceive." Nothing happens without the Holy Spirit coming and overshadowing you. But her heart and spirit, first response was, "I want in my heart to obey your word." And Jesus is an obedient one. Are you one of those? Now, I want to throw one at you here. Everybody look up here, ready? This is the big zipper at the end here. The only time we grow spiritually is when we do what's right when we don't feel like it. The only time we grow spiritually is when we do what's right when we don't feel like it. You see, when I feel like doing it, it's not a test. Let me give you an example. Everything in you wants to tell someone off, and instead you pray for them. Do you know what that is? That's a sign that you're growing, because you made a choice of wisdom. Wisdom chooses to do something to avoid a consequence and to have a good, fruitful consequence instead of a negative consequence. When you live according to the carnal nature, just go ahead and do whatever. But wisdom dictates you make wise choices. And when Jesus was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to the one who judges justly. So I want everybody just to say this: whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it for the glory of God. Amen? God went through great lengths to bring Jesus to us so that we could respond to Him. And He's still going for hearts today. How many of you have some family members that are just wayward? We're gonna take one moment. We're going to finish here in a moment. Go ahead and take somebody's hand. Let's pray. We pray, Lord Jesus, go ahead and take somebody's hand. We pray. If you would pray in the Spirit there under you kind of softly, let's just pray in agreement here. Father God, we just thank You for the power of Your gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we come and humble our hearts and say, Lord, let there come a greater witness of God through our own hearts as we take our time, Lord, to worship and share and imitate you. But now we pray for those around us who are without you. And we claim their souls. Lord, there are some with roots of bitterness. There are some with just horrible things that have happened in their past. They're still blaming God or blaming people. We ask that those strongholds come down. Just whisper those words. Say, I claim them for you, Lord. I claim them for you. Come into their life, Holy Spirit. Come and overshadow them like you overshadowed Mary. Come and cause new life to be conceived in them right now in the name of Jesus. Cause there to come a work during this season. We stand in the gap and say, Lord, let there come a profound work, an entry point of your life into our family members, into our neighbors, into those around us that are not walking with you. We rejoice for all who do. But Lord, there are so many with have great need. And we claim them for your glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let's go ahead and stand together. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Would you lift your heads with me to the Lord? Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.